Walpole rises and comes quickly to see whether he's dead.
Not yet, dear. Very nearly, but not yet. I should like to rest my head on your bosom, only it would tire you.
No, 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 darling. How could you tire me?
Jennifer lifts him so that he lies on her bosom.
That's good. That's real.
Don't spare me, dear. Indeed, you will not tire me. Lean on me with all your weight.
Jenny Winnie, I think I shall recover after all.
Yes, yes, you shall.
Because I suddenly want to sleep. Just an ordinary sleep.
Sir Patrick looks significantly at Ridgeon, mutely warning him that this is the end.
Yes, dear, sleep.
Louis seems to go to sleep. Walpole makes another movement.
Please, don't disturb him.
Louis's lips move.
What did you say, dear? I can't listen without moving him.
Louis's lips move again. Walpole bends down and listens.
He wants to know if the newspaper man is here.
Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Dubedat, here I am.
Walpole raises his hand warningly to silence him. Sir Ralph sits down quietly on the sofa and frankly buries his face in his handkerchief.
Oh, that's right, dear. Don't spare me. Lean with all your weight on me. Now you are really resting.
Sir Patrick quickly comes forward and feels Louis's pulse, then takes him by the shoulders.
Let me put him back on the pillow, ma'am. He will be better so.
Oh, no, please, please, doctor. He is not tiring me, and he will be so hurt when he wakes he finds I have put him away.
He will never wake again.
Sir Patrick takes the body from her and replaces it in the chair. Ridgeon, unmoved, lets down the back and makes a bier of it.
Was that death?
Yes.
Will you wait for me a moment? I will come back.
Jennifer goes out.
Ought we to follow her? Is she in her right senses?
Yes, she's all right. Leave her alone. She'll come back.
Let us get this thing out of the way before she comes.
My dear colleague, poor lad. He died splendidly.
Aye, that is how the wicked die. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. No matter. It's not for us to judge. He's in another world now.
Borrowing his first £5 note there, probably.
I said the other day that the most tragic thing in the world is a sick doctor. I was wrong. The most tragic thing in the world is a man of genius who is not also a man of honor.
Ridgeon and Walpole wheeled the chair into the recess.
I thought it showed a very nice feeling, his being so particular about his wife going into proper mourning for him and making her promise never to marry again.
Mrs. Dubedat is not in a position to carry the interview any further. Neither are we.
Good afternoon to you.
Mrs. Dubedat said she was coming back.
After you have gone.
Do you think she would give me a few words on how it feels to be a widow? Rather a good title for an article, isn't it?
Young man, if you wait until Mrs. Dubedat comes back, you will be able to write an article on how it feels to be turned out of the house.
You think she'd rather not?
Good day to you.
Bonington gives him a visiting card.
Mind you get my name correctly. Good day.
Good day. Thank you.
The newspaper man vaguely tries to read the card.
Mr.
Not Mr. This is your hat, I think. Gloves? No, of course, no gloves. Good day to you.
Bonington edges the newspaper man out at last, shuts the door on him, and returns to Sir Patrick as Ridgeon and Walpole come back from the recess.
Poor fellow. Poor young fellow. How well he died. I feel a better man, really.
When you're as old as I am, you'll know that it matters very little how a man dies. What matters is how he lives. Every fool that runs his nose against a bullet is a hero nowadays because he dies for his country. Why don't he live for it to some purpose?
No, please, Patty. Don't be hard on the poor lad. Not now. Not now. After all, was he so bad? He had only two failings, money and women. Well, let us be honest. Tell the truth, Patty. Don't be hypocritical, Ridgeon. Throw off the mask, Walpole. Are these two matters so well arranged at present that a disregard of the usual arrangements indicates real depravity?
I don't mind his disregarding the usual arrangements. Confound the usual arrangements. To a man of science, they're beneath contempt both as to money and women. What I mind is his disregarding everything except his own pocket and his own fancy. He didn't disregard the usual arrangements when they paid him. Did he give us his pictures for nothing? Do you suppose he'd have hesitated to blackmail me if I'd compromised myself with his wife? Not he.
Don't waste your time wrangling over him. Blackguard's a blackguard. An honest man's an honest man, and neither of them will ever be at a loss for a religion or a morality to prove that their ways are the right ways.
It's the same with nations, the same with professions, the same all over the world, and always will be.
Ah, well, perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. Still, de mortuis nil nisi bonum. Speak no ill of the dead. He died extremely well, remarkably well. He has set us an example. Let us endeavor to follow it rather than harp on the weaknesses that have perished with him. I think it is Shakespeare who says that the good that most men do lives after them. The evil lies interred with their bones. Yes, interred with their bones. Believe me, Paddy, we are all mortal. It is a common lot, Ridgeon. Say what you will, Walpole. Nature's debt must be paid. If 'tis not today, 'twill be tomorrow. Tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. After life's fitful fever, they sleep well, and like this insubstantial bourne from which no traveler returns, leave not a rack behind.
Walpole is about to speak, but Bonington suddenly and vehemently proceeding extinguishes him.
Out, out, brief candle! Her nothing canst thou to damnation add. The readiness is all.
Yes, Bonington. Death makes people go on like that. I don't know why it should, but it does. By the way, what are we going to do? Ought we to clear out? Or had we better wait and see whether Mrs. Dubedow will come back?
No, I think we'd better go. We can tell the charwoman what to do.
They take their hats and go to the door. Jennifer comes from the inner door, wonderfully and beautifully dressed and radiant, carrying a great piece of purple silk, handsomely embroidered over her arm.
I'm so sorry to have kept you waiting. I felt that I must shake hands with his friends once before we part today. We have shared together a great privilege and a great happiness. I don't think we can ever think of ourselves as ordinary people again. We have had a wonderful experience, and that gives us a common faith, a common ideal that nobody else can quite have. Life will always be beautiful to us. Death will always be beautiful to us. May we shake hands on that?
They shake hands.
Remember, all letters had better be left to your solicitor. Let him open everything and settle everything. That's the law, you know.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know.
Sir Patrick goes.
Goodbye. Goodbye. I blame myself. I should have insisted on operating.
Walpole goes.
I will send the proper people. They will know what to do. You shall have no trouble. Goodbye, my dear lady.
Bonington goes.
Goodbye.
Ridgeon offers Jennifer his hand. She draws back with gentle majesty.
I said his friend, Sir Colenso.
Ridgeon bows and goes. Jennifer unfolds the great piece of silk and goes into the recess to cover her debt.